Welcome to the Word of the Kingdom. From the platform of Kingdom Word Ministries, Pastor Banky teaches the sanctifying truth of God's Word.
All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. All right, can we just quickly get into our message study for this afternoon? 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Now, the last time we were here, we've already explained what it means to be spiritual, or we talked about what it means to be natural. That's reading from chapter 2, and then what it means to be carnal or fleshly. That is, a believer is supposed to be spiritual, but when he's behaving like a normal, average person, then Paul says the person is carnal, or the person is fleshly. The person is behaving like mere men. That's the expression Paul uses to describe that. He said, you are behaving like mere men. And amongst the signs of being fleshly, of being carnal, are things like, one, the person, Paul gave an example here, is that if you're still jealousy and strife among you, he said that way, what's happening is that you are being fleshly and you are walking like mere men. Now, we'll start from verse 5. He said, what then is Apollos and what is Paul? Servants through whom you believed, even as the Lord gave opportunity to each one. Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered, but God was causing the growth. He says, so then neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but God who causes the growth, or God who gives the increase. I like the way King James puts that. He said, now he who plants and he who waters are one, that is, they are like one another. And this is the principle. I discussed that in the exhortation last Monday. The principle is that each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. And he said, for we are God's fellow workers, and you are God's field, God's building. Now, let me just start from there. A number of points I want us to bear in mind. The first one is what we discussed in the exhortation last week, so I won't spend so much time on it. And that's what he brought out in verse 8. He said, what you notice is that God rewards according to labor. God does not reward according to results. As Christians, we must understand that. And that's one thing I want us to understand from this passage, something that Paul is explaining, that believers must learn to focus on building, not, let me say like this, on their labor, not on the result. You learn to focus on your labor because God will give you an opportunity. And you must never look down on one opportunity because it appears like it's not getting the kind of result. Let me explain what I'm saying. I'm talking as a preacher now. Now, you know, there are people, as an example, they said that Enugu is a very dry place, so they want to go and plant their church in Lagos. And I see that all the time. Now, the reason is because they have looked, maybe, I've heard a man, but he didn't make that mistake. You know, he was in Kano for a long time. His friends were building churches filled with thousands of people, all right, operating budgets in millions of naira, when he was just managing to get on where he was in Kano. He said one day he prayed and said, God, what on earth did I do wrong? Like, which sin did I commit? But, of course, God is not concerned about what we are concerned about. For him, what was important is that wherever I put you, you prove to be faithful there, that my reward which I give to you is according to the opportunity that I have given you. If you find a man, we judge like human beings. You say, this man built a church, there were 10,000 people there. He blessed a lot of lives. When he gets to heaven, he has a great reward. But the fact is that it doesn't work like that. The man who God gave the opportunity to bless only one life, and he blessed that life effectively, gets his full reward. Whether you bless a million or not is absolutely besides the point. Now, this is the issue. We must therefore learn to focus on planting. He said, I planted, and you will see something about that in a moment, that each person has his own role. Paul was a planter, and Apollos was one who watered. Now, you see, Paul was functioning as an apostle here, and Apollos was functioning as a teacher. Paul's primary job was to lay a foundation where none had been laid, where Jesus Christ had not been preached. So he will tell you, I planted, and then Apollos watered. Apollos was building people up with the word of God. He said, but God was the one causing the growth. Now, I will explain something about that in just a while. Let's just read a bit further down. Now, so, before we read further down, I want us to know something about verse 9. And that is the fact that he said, we are God's fellow workers, Now, referring to the church there, he said, you are God's field, God's building. Now, we must get something clear here. What Paul was saying is that the work we are doing is not our own. We are not building according to our own design. It's God's building that we are building. Please, try and follow what I'm trying to say closely. That you are supposed to contribute your part. Let me give an example. Paul, let's assume that he's a mason or something. Or let's even say that he's an electrician. Yes, to make it easier for me. All right? You don't wire the building according to what you like. You wire according to the design that was there before you were hired as an electrician. Do you follow what I'm saying? Now, if you are the roofing man, you don't roof the building because it looks nice to you. There was something that the architect put in place before you came, and he will give you the opportunity to build according to his design. Therefore, it is not right for you to build things the way you like, but you must be careful to realize that you are not working in your own building, but you are working in God's building. What I'm saying, I hope is making sense. Now, this is very difficult for a lot of people to explain, understand. God can just say, all you are supposed to do is make doors, and you have no right to envy the man who's painting the house, just because they won't notice your work as much as they will notice his own. You might say your own job is to go and lay the tiles in the kitchen. Just bear in mind that it's not your house. You are faithful, you are careful to be faithful to the person who gave you the assignment. Now, you will see how these things tie together as I'm going on. Now, if you realize this, then you see the beauty about it, I talked about this extensively on Monday, so let me go by it again. It's very easy for you not to feel like you are failing. Do you follow my point? Take myself as an example. You know, how do I judge how well I'm doing? As long as I make it here every Saturday and every Monday, as long as I'm doing well. Do you follow my point? I used to say that those days, I would drive all the way down, 3 hours to get down here. Who am I preaching to? Only my wife, my brother, and maybe one other person that's straight down. Well, I fall. But that's next Saturday, I'm coming back. I am coming back. We're supposed to have meetings every Saturday. I won't say, who could do this? No, only the Gian, no, for my. I beg, forget. No. I cancel all engagements to make sure I'm here next Saturday. And if I travel, I will drive back again. Why? Because, you see, that's the opportunity I've been given. Do you follow my point? I heard a man once. He said he was praying for opportunities to go abroad to go and minister. And the opportunity opened for him somewhere in Malawi or something like that. He rejected it. What kind of thing is that? God, I said opportunity. He called that an opportunity. Then opportunity opened in France. He said, yes, praise God. I said, listen, man, you're not a serious person. What is the difference? Some people will give you, they spend euro and francs. I don't know whether that time you're using francs. And some people, I don't know what they spend. What did they say in my life? I have no idea. That's to show you how unimportant the currency is. And that is what is concerning you. No, Bible says that each person ministers as is given the opportunity. So it's easy to defend yourself from feeling like you are failing. Do you understand my point? When you realize that it is not your building. Now, let's read further. Paul now said, I'm still going to go back to something about Paul and Apollos. I just need to explain something. Paul said, according to the grace of God which was given to me as a wise master builder, I laid a foundation and another is building upon it. Who's the another? Apollos, he was saying. But let each man be careful how he builds. Please notice the word, how he builds. Let each man be careful. What did he say? Let each man be careful how he builds. That is, with God, the procedure matters. With God, the end does not justify the means. Do you understand my point? The means is what God is checking, because he said the end is what he gives. No, it's not you that decides that. That is, what God checks is the means. So he said, let each one be careful how he builds. He said, for no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. And that was what Paul laid down. He said, now, if any man builds upon the foundation with gold, please get this point. Now, if any man builds upon the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each man's work will become evident, for the day will show it, because it is to be revealed with fire, and the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. He said, if any man's work which he has built upon it remains, he shall receive a reward. And if any man's work is burned up, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as through fire. Now, please, I want you to get a point here. Well, let's read verse 16 again, because everything is tying together. He said, do you not know that you are a temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If any man destroys the temple of God, that is, by how he is building, please notice that emphasis, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, and this is what you are. Now, the message here for me, the way I see it, is actually more inclined towards correcting ministers in the way they minister, rather than just a general message for the body of Christ. Now, this was the issue here was that the people were being divided. What is clear is that Paul planted the church. Then Apollos came at a time and he began to teach. In fact, one thing you will notice, I was reading somewhere in the book of Acts, you will see that there was a time that Apollos was there, Acts chapter 19. When Paul had gone on to Ephesus, Apollos was there in Corinth and he was teaching. Now, whether it was his fault, now which personally I suspect was partly his fault, and I didn't correct them, or it was just the way the people heard him. Because you will see that he was not very experienced at that particular point in time. I hope you get my point. Because when he came and he was teaching, it was Priscilla and Aquila that took him aside and expounded. They taught him more about the principles of the gospel and then sent him ahead. He was not a very experienced person. Now, but there are a number of things I want us to note there. I said a lot, preachers should please be careful to note this. If you read in verse 10, you will see that Paul was emphasizing something, that he was laying a foundation. And if you read Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20, let's quickly read that. Now, I was talking about the body of Christ again. If you read from verse 19, it says, so then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are God's household. Now, what makes you God's household? Having been built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone. All right, let me just leave it there. The point I want to bring out here is this. I said this on Saturday, talking about building on apostles and prophets, the significance of that we are built upon that which is written, not on experience. We are not built upon that which works, but that which is written. And that's why the Bible says that we are built upon the foundation of apostles and prophets. Now, what was Paul explaining here? That he lays a foundation. And I want to just explain to something about ministry to us. That is the job of apostles. They lay foundations. This is the foundation that has been laid. Do you understand my point? That is, what most people do afterwards is to build upon that foundation. And this is the interesting part. What I want to say may surprise some people. Most churches that are churches, you know, like they were really churches. I don't mean synagogue, Church of All Nations. The church was never started as a church. You need to be blind to think decide as a church. You need to be very, very spiritually deaf to think so. Every preacher can tell you stories about himself. Has T.B. Joshua ever told you a story about himself? No, get my point. No, think about it. Think about it. They'll be able to tell you, I used to be here. I got saved there. This was the church I was going to. Tell him come out one day and mention one church he used to attend. You don't just get born again one day. We know you're the pastor of a thriving church. That's not what I'm saying. So I'm not trying to get... I'm not ashamed to say it though. You can quote me. Pastor Bank said that he's a joker. So it really doesn't matter really. There are many clowns in Lagos. You know that. There are clowns everywhere. So I'm trying to say something. If you see something about most churches that are really churches, no matter how backslidden they are, they generally have a foundation, which is Christ. They can add other things to it too. Some add saints, some add Mary, some add statues. People add all kinds. Some add all kinds of rituals, you know, either Orthodox or Pentecostals. But generally, the foundation is still what? Christ. Do you understand? Now, the problem, okay, was how people built upon it. What do you mean by people building? When people start teaching people doctrines, for example, I start teaching about how to pray. I'm building upon the foundation that is Christ. I don't know whether you are following my point. Then you start teaching people on how maybe to attend church services. You are building upon the foundation. You can teach all kinds of things about Christianity. And that's why you see that Paul's emphasis, when he was explaining, I said Apollos was primarily a teacher. And he said, I laid a foundation and anyone building upon it should be careful because you are handling God's building. How do you do God's building? It's by teaching. Now, there's something I want to say. I don't know whether this is a good time. Actually, when we finish reading one or two letters of Paul, we'll jump the rest because they tend to be saying about the same thing, okay? Let me just explain something. Quickly open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. From verse, you know what it says, ascended on high, he gave gifts unto men. And then in verse 11, he said, and he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ. Can you see that? Now, what I want to bring out here is what he said about, it said he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some as what? Pastors and teachers. Most people, now, do you have that one, a new book? If you read the back of the book, you will see the way I wrote that myself, actually, all right? The way I chose the words. If you have, you go and check it. I didn't use the word the founder or president. I chose the word pastor-teacher of Kingdom Word Ministries. There's a reason. Because if you see here, there are four, most of the time we count five ministry gifts. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. But if you look at it carefully, Paul outlined how many? Four, not five. He said he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as what? Pastors and teachers. He didn't say he gave some as pastors and some as teachers. Now, there's something there. Because a lot of us, we have this wrong concept of the biblical word pastor. These days, we look at the pastor as a head of an assembly. That's just our administrative framework in the body of Christ today. It's not centered upon what the Bible used that expression for. Do you follow my point? The person who heads an assembly is, it could be an apostle, it could be a prophet, it could be anything. Do you get my point? Just like, you see, apostle is a job you do, prophet is a job you do, evangelist is a job you do, pastor, teacher is a job you do. The people that use the expression pastors for, actually, there are those who feed people with knowledge and understanding. If you read Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 15, you will see that. Quickly open to it also. The book of Jeremiah chapter 3, especially in the King James Bible. When he was describing there in verse 15, he said, then I will give you, he said, pastors after my heart. If you use another Bible, it will tell you shepherds after my own heart. And the job of these shepherds or pastors is to feed on what? Knowledge and understanding. Now, that's what they do. I'm going to bring out something here. That is the principle of building up the body of Christ. Let me explain something. The degree of accuracy with which you express the doctrines of God to them is what determines how solid the building will be. Do you understand what I'm going to say? And that's why Paul was warning people that, don't you understand that you are building God's building? You know, if you're a preacher, you have to be careful about that. You are not getting results. I don't know why I'm just feeling so strongly about warning believers about this result thing. You follow what I'm going to say? You know, it's not methods of getting results quickly. But the Bible says that there is an established procedure for every event under the sun. It's clear in the scriptures. There is a proper time and a proper procedure. My emphasis is on the word procedure. For example, if you are a teacher of the body of Christ, God has commissioned you therefore to build up his church, you have to be careful to give accurate doctrine, not colored by, as much as possible, personal feeling, personal opinions, or targeted teaching so as to get people to do something that you like. You know, I see this a lot. I have seen it a lot. I've been hearing this for years. Like now, if now we're going to do seminar in a way, I'll now come and preach a message on how to cooperate with God to move his kingdom forward. I'm just trying to motivate you to come and cooperate with me in the seminar in a way. Now, it sounds nice and noble, but it's not right. It's not. I don't have time to explain it. It sounds nice and noble, but it's not right. The job is like using steroids for athletes. Do you follow my point? That's the way it is. It's like somebody wants to run a race, you give him amphetamine. It's not right. What you are supposed to do for the athlete is to train him over time, feed him well. Do you understand my point? You don't give him a dose of amphetamine so he can win a race. He will get caught and he will be disqualified. Now, please, that's what Paul was explaining to the Apollos here, well, indirectly, that each person has to be careful. What makes a building sure? What makes the building a thing built with gold and silver and precious stones is the accuracy of the doctrine that the people use. Let's read something in Acts chapter 13. Let's talk about this Apollos man for a while. You see the Acts chapter 18. You see that the things of God have different levels of accuracy. From verse 24. He said, now a certain Jew named Apollos, an Alexandrian by birth, an eloquent man, came to Ephesus, and he was mighty in the scriptures. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he was speaking and teaching, notice that word, accurately the things concerning Jesus Christ within his own limitations, being acquainted only with the baptism of John. As far as the words of John was concerned, or were concerned, Apollos was accurate in his description of Jesus Christ. Therefore, most of the things that Jesus said while he was alive, he knew nothing about it. He only knew as far as the details that John taught. And you must understand something about doctrine. It has levels, and each one can carry you only to a particular level. Operating by the baptism of John, you will see the next chapter. This was in Ephesus, right? The man was in Ephesus teaching. After that, Paul came to Ephesus and said, "Have you received the Holy Spirit since you baptized?" He said, "We have never heard there's an Holy Spirit." Apollo just finished shaking the place. They said, we haven't heard. Eh? What did you say? Holy Spirit. Ah. Now, this Apollo. Now, do you follow the point I'm making? Now, let's go back to our chapter 18. He said, was speaking and teaching accurately things concerning Jesus, being acquainted only with the baptism of John. So up to that level, his teaching was accurate. And he began to speak out boldly in the synagogue. But when Priscilla and Aquila, this is what knew Paul very well. Paul had instructed them and taught them. They knew Paul very well. He had been with them. He had taught them things. He said, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. Do you follow my point? What makes it more accurate? They will take the man to a level that he never heard about. They will begin to talk about the life of Jesus Christ, his death and his resurrection, which if you were, you have been with Paul, you should know and you should understand. Now, this is the point I'm making. So this man, I don't know, I just have this feeling to just say this. He was a man full of zeal, but who was not very grounded yet, I'm sorry, in doctrine. It's very common. One of the things, when I see young men who have plenty of fire in their bones, I always shake my head for them. That is like, may God bless this man, but please, try and slow down. No, you know, I say it all the time. Because sometimes, if you read, you know, there's a way he said it in Proverbs. He said, for a man to make haste with his feet, you know, he said, for a man to be without knowledge is not good. But he that makes haste with his feet runs into error. I think that will be around Proverbs chapter 19, verse 2. He said, also, it's not good for a person to be without knowledge. And he who makes haste with his feet errs. I like the NIV. There's a way NIV puts that, which is so nice. It said, it is not good to have zeal without knowledge, nor to be hasty and miss the way. You are getting what I'm saying? Sometimes people who are not very grounded in knowledge tend to have a lot of zeal, and they end up causing a lot of problems in that process. And that's partly what was, that's partly what was going on here. Now, but let's just learn our own lessons from it, and then we'll keep running. So Paul's emphasis is that this is a building. What makes a building stand? Now, let me say something quickly. If I want to kill a plant, how many people have heard of 2,4-D, tree killer, or 2,4-5-T? There are two of them. 2,4-D and 2,4-5-T. Those are the ones they use, those that I knew of. It's called tree killer. That's the name of the chemical, tree killer. You know what it does? Okay, you guessed right. It kills trees. If you want to kill a tree, you peel the back and take a brush and paint around the tree with the chemical, and the tree dies over the next few weeks. All right? It doesn't die instantly. It takes time to die. But when it dies thoroughly. One of the trees that's hard to kill is the mango tree. You know, I don't know why, but that one is quite hard to kill. That tree killer finds it very hard to kill. But generally, most trees, you peel the back around, make sure there's a small groove at the bottom, and then paint the tree killer on the exposed part of the tree, and then, you know, a bit of it will drip in that groove. After a while, it takes a few weeks, but the tree will die. You know what? Jesus looked at the tree and spoke and died overnight. Uh-huh. And then this one takes a few weeks, but it does the same thing. In the same manner as that fig tree died from the roots. All right? This one, tree killer, also kills trees from the root. You say, Pastor Bang, why are you talking about tree killer? Let me tell you, it's how it works that's the interesting part. It doesn't set out to kill trees. You know what it sets out to do? To make them grow. It stimulates growth in trees. The trees start growing so fast inside them
that they outgrow the ability of the root to absorb nutrients. So they now die of starvation. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, that's why it's so important for believers. Let's get back to it. That we don't focus on growth. We focus on what? Doing what is right. Are you following my point? Let me tell you, if you are going to build a church, now, I said this has a lot to say to ministers. If you are building a church as a pastor or something, one thing you must not do ever, if you want the church to last, if you want to last as a person, don't ever use gimmicks. You know, they call gimmicks. There are things you can do to attract crowd. Are you getting my point? But what you are going to do is to wreck the temple of God. Because one day, trial will come. All right? Affliction will come. The day will reveal whether you have been building with gold or silver, precious stones, or wood, hay, and straw. Do you follow the point? Now, the one that grows fastest usually is the one that's built, you know, anyhow. You build it with straw. You can build a straw house overnight. You just knock this in, put straw on it, put this one there, drop everything inside, and that is it. You follow my point? You build this thing overnight. But the problem is when fire will burn. Do you follow my point? But what I want to emphasize on is for the believer, for the minister of God, what is straw? What is gold? What is hay? What is silver? What is precious stones? Gold, silver, precious stones, they are sound doctrine, which you release with a clean heart. Not so as to, you know, get something there. Not so as to make, to get quick growth, get quick results, get quick profit. Not so as to manipulate people, like Paul would say. Not so as to deal deceitfully and handle the word of God, and to handle the word of God craftily. Now, the problem, in quotes, with building with gold, silver, and precious stones is that it takes time. You follow what I'm saying? People are not likely to get very excited. You are not likely, you know, to just get up one day and tomorrow, the church was 2 today, tomorrow it is 20. The day after it's 400. Then one day it's 10,000. You know, I'm one person that I've never, all this one of counting the biggest churches in the world. To me, it's a big, if as a serious Christian, don't ever bother. You may hear me quote it too, all right? But I'm not impressed. Hey, Young Church is part of the largest church in the world. And then you now look at it and say, man, this man is a great man. He's a great man. I'm not saying he's not a great man. But so is a man who pastors the smallest church in Rwanda. Do you follow what I want to say? They are all great people. This one is just well known because his face is in all the newspapers. That is it. If most of us think the biggest and the most anointed ministers in the world are Americans. No, it's just that they have the largest amount of newspaper. They have the largest amount of airtime. You know, that's it. And I don't mean that to slight anybody. You know, some of the people that have blessed me the most in life, they came out of there. Either they're Americans or they were influenced there. People like Ken Hagin was an American, all right? E.W. Kenyon, and all those people, all right? But I'm just trying to explain that there are a lot of people who did things also that they are not as well known. That's what I want to emphasize there, okay? So when you say that this man is the largest church in the world, you know what I've always found out? People now go and learn how to build the largest church in the world. Again, I don't think it's a necessary thing. You want to go and copy? No, it's not. If you want to go and learn, because I read this series, a series of materials by Yonggi Cho. I mean, I've read many of his books, and there's this series they had in the church growth seminar, which I really enjoyed, and it blessed me. Talking about, he was emphasizing on feeding people with the word of God, and that is the key, all right, to real growth. But I've also noticed something, that he didn't lay the foundation. If you've read the story, the assemblies of God people, for decades before he came on the scene, they had been praying. They had been preaching, not just praying. They had been preaching, and they had been, you know, doing the groundwork. You know, these days, let me give you an example. If you hear a church was 50 today and tomorrow, they are 500. Go and check how many new converts are there in that 450. How many? No, think about it. Usually very few. Most of them there came, left other churches and came there. What does that tell you? Now, I'm not saying it's bad. No, please, don't say, you know, some people like to criticize. Just go and say, Pastor Banky, I said, all of you are not serious. In Jesus' name, if you repeat me, may your teeth bend. Not thinking that if, you know, in a critical mood. I'm not in a critical mood. This is just an analytical mood. Do you follow my point? And these are facts of life. I have no problem with somebody leaving one church and go to the other. If you stop getting blessed here, or you feel like your ministry has ended, move on. It's still the body of Christ. You know, it's not, just live properly. There's nothing wrong with it. So that's not what I'm trying to say. I'm not trying to bring out an issue. So you find under some circumstances, what have you noticed? It means that the person who's gathering the crowd now, they did not lay the foundation. Nothing wrong with it. other men labor and you enter into their labor. Jesus said it. Do you understand what I'm saying? So somebody like Young Joe, what did he do? If you go and read the story, you see in reality,